services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 229, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm Adam and Eldred must live. Here's Debbie Melrose.
Stop making a fuss, Sarah. You're from South Croydon.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Careful, that's not as armless as it looks.
And Mary Lang.
Said correctly, Eldred must live.
That sounds like K9.
Master.
No, that's Sarah Jane in a trance.
Oh, right. Okay.
Eldred must live.
What about why is she a he?
Yeah, that's a good one. Or this why, is intensely interesting.
Well, I quite liked her, but I couldn't stand him.
Yes, he went all Brian Blessed, didn't he?
Or hail Eldred, king of nothing.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to use a different quote. I couldn't be bothered. This week we're looking at Hand of Fear.
No, really? Yeah. Couldn't guess it.
Which begins with some political goings-on on Castria.
Political? That's a military operation.
Oh, I'd say it was more militant.
Militant. Well. Anyway, as I was saying, political goings-on on Castria. The people, obviously, the hierarchy of this military doodah, are planning a execution of... as they say in the particular thing, Eldred, and that thing there. See that little on that little bit of kit that they're wearing lots of anoraks and sort of what they call it, all-in-one sleeping bags.
Yes.
yeah. There's this little square thing. That's part of a larger sort of backdrop that often appears in Doctor Who. There's a little sort of unit that the bloke's pretending to
I thought
press
he sounded like Tom
I didn't
Baker.
Think this was a unit story at all.
Anyway, so yeah, the idea is what they're going to do. Eldred's in this capsule. They're going to blow up the capsule.
Master.
Into smithereen bits. And yes.
This is an unusual spacecraft for Doctor Who at the time because it is completely smooth. Most at that time, the BBC and actually most model makers throughout the world who were making stuff for film and TV like to stick little pieces of model kits all over their models. And the guy who made that model wanted it to be different. He wanted wanted it to be nice and smooth.
Thank you.
That's a cool little pod.
Yes. Anyway, so yeah, they want to blow up this thing to
the obliteration module.
Meanwhile. And they do actually.
Back in the TARDIS.
They do actually blow it up. But there's a problem, isn't there, that means that they can't quite blow it up as much as they wanted to blow it up.
Yeah, 1 in 3 million chance of particle survival at 19
like
span.
And meanwhile, these people in this real quarry, as you were saying, yes. Particularly impressed the fact they've actually got
a quarry
real
used as
quarry.
A quarry, yeah. Very excited.
I believe this is one of the few times they actually acknowledge they're in a quarry.
Yes.
Funny how it looks like an alien backdrop,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yes. Could use that, couldn't you?
Yeah. so they're lining up some explosions.
It happens to be Slickstone's quarry in Gloucestershire.
Does it?
Wooden under something or other, isn't it?
Anyway, the Doctor and Sarah turn up.
Sarah Jane!
So I'm just jumping in before Kirby interrupts me.
And normally he calls her Sarah most of the time in this.
Oh, normally
the Fourth Doctor tended to say Sarah.
Yeah.
The whole Sarah Jane stuff didn't start until Sarah Jane Adventures.
Yeah, but she was more called Sarah Jane with the Third Doctor, wasn't she? Yeah.
No, he tended to call her Sarah as well.
Sarah Jane? anyway, yeah, so they're wandering around this quarry and this bloke starts waving at them from the top of a thing.
Yeah, you thought the sirens might have been a giveaway.
Yeah.
Hello!
Yeah, I love that. And
friendly local
now,
chat.
Presumably...
there's a big bang.
Master?
Yes.
Master?
Yes.
Presumably, when the Doctor... throws that stone in the weird overhanded method and knocks that other stone over, that's a cricket move?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's
just checking. After yesterday's cricket stuff all over the internet. Or
yeah,
with
it was
you
really
guys.
Good match,
yes, it was.
That's incredible. It's very unusual that that a last wicket partnership should last, was, of course, a world record, so that shows how long it was, should get so many runs. It's incredible. There's a big bang. Sarah gets buried by a pile of rocks.
Conveniently, in a nice
pocket
space for,
well, yeah. It would have been a bit of a shame for her to get killed off in the first episode.
And by the way, it is an urban legend that they destroyed a camera in the explosion part.
Yes, I'd heard that.
It was in a bomb-proof case, and also they filmed that. They filmed it during a regular explosion day at the quarry, specifically for Doctor Who. But they actually used that footage in another TV show on the BBC about a week beforehand. I could look up the exact show if you wish me to.
No, thank you.
I wouldn't mind.
So anyway, Sarah is all right. But
shut
she
up, Debbie.
She grabs...
Don't encourage her.
She grabs the hand and screams and then is unconscious. I love the way Tom Baker sort of hoiks her out, very as if she's like a really light featherweight thing. She's sort of basically... It's like he's holding with two fingers.
Yeah, just whoop, out so she comes. She is a tiny wee thing, yeah, isn't she?
That's quite impressive. And she's grabbing the hand. She won't let go of it. And meanwhile...
Master.
Yes?
It was seen on Softly, Softly Task Force.
Marvellous.
About a month before
the show was. So, the doctor, meanwhile, has been examined by the doctor.
The doctor, yeah.
And with that beard, that doctor could have probably played the master quite easily. Shave off the side bit. And he's having his arm prodded. And I thought he was going, ow, because I thought he was going to say, it's not that, your hands are cold. But yeah. He wasn't. I was waiting for him to say that. But he didn't. And, of course, the doctor's more interested in how Sarah is. And Sarah's unconscious. And but she's not really. She's pretending to be. Because as soon as everybody leaves the room, her eyes open up in possessed mode.
I did like this bit with Dr. Carter where they're discussing all the different cellular structure of the hand and things. I really like the way they were exploring that whole idea.
And of course he's recognisable because he was in The Three Doctors. And
who?
This Carter bloke.
Oh, Rex Robinson? Yeah.
So play virtually the same sort of character. So they're sort of confabbing about silicon-based life forms, etc., etc. Doctor doesn't take a lot to actually convince him that it's probably alien, this hand. And then you have the brilliant Sarah Jane, Elizabeth Sladen's possessed mode. She's so good at being possessed.
She's the best at being possessed.
She is indeed. That's a good rhyme, that, isn't it? And then for some reason, because she's possessed, she decides to put on a very odd-looking outfit.
It's she the didn't one she start was in. Episode. No, she did
That's
start
the one
in
she was in. What are you talking about?
Yeah, oh, Andy Pandy outfit, yeah.
Did she?
Yep.
Okay.
And they actually say that, yes, just like Andy Pandy.
I know they did, but I didn't...
Except it's not just like Andy Pandy.
Oh, I know what's missing.
Andy had blue stripes.
I know what's missing. She had a headscarf on. You say, that's why I thought it was a different outfit. And I'm sticking to that reason.
Anyway, I like the use of the Tupperware box.
Yeah, and with the ill-fitting lid.
Yeah.
Yeah, she goes in and finds Watson. Is it Watson? Carter. Carter, and nicks
Watson's
the box.
Watson's at the nuclear.
Yeah, right, so yeah. I realised my mistake. Meanwhile, back on Mars. Sorry, the quarry. The doctor goes to have a look at the area of the explosion, the crater, and that to see if there's any evidence of further alienishness.
He's probably asking him for plastic, isn't he? Have you seen anything plastic? And they're like, what, from 150 million years ago? Mm. Anything like that. Yeah.
So, I don't get why they pick different quarries. why don't they just find a quarry and use the same quarry?
You know, it reminded me, these little hospital sort of sets reminded me of the hospital sets in 40 Towers. Because it was probably filmed around the same time.
The bit with Sybil's and growing toenails.
Yeah, that's the one. The Germans.
Yes,
it's called the Germans.
That's what reminds me of that one.
Yes, I'm just whizzing through. That's right, because Sarah is heading for Nunton Complex.
Oh, I see why they used that particular quarry, because it was close to the power station. Old Oldbury.
Yeah, okay. Brilliant. I love the bit where she walks up with a finger in her mouth.
Yeah, I'm a sweet
and just,
little thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So she infiltrates the nuclear power station. She's heading for
like
the
you
core.
Could do that.
Yeah.
Well, you can do if you're going to knock everybody out with a ring. Which would be quite easy, actually. Meanwhile, the doctor is travelling to because he realises that it needs radiation and that there's a power station nearby. So obviously,
and Carter is now being told Eldrad must live as well because of the cells.
Yeah, he's
that
been
he was,
slightly. Yeah, he was slightly sort of hypnotised. There's a brilliant scene, isn't there? There's a line where he asks a question to the doctor, and his tone changes because of a slight bit of possession there, which is really really good. Anyway, Sarah eventually goes to the core and sort of squats down with her hand. Well, that's not her hand; it's Eldred's hand. And of course, once she's in the room, the hand starts moving, and then you get the end of the episode, which was a really iconic end.
I like the way the finger grows.
Absolutely.
Back.
Yeah. That was a good moment.
What was the Master? Remind me what the other major story? I believe it was a Tom Baker story. That was also filmed in a different nuclear plant.
I don't know if it was a Tom Baker one. Was it Pirate Planet?
I think it was Pirate Planet, yeah.
I think that may have been filmed. But it
wasn't. I'll look it up.
But it wasn't set up to be a nuclear thing. It was just like a... I don't know what it was in Pirate Planet, actually. Even though it's my favourite story. Second favourite. Sorry.
Dramatic use of the Tupperware box again, episode 2. Yeah. I loved it.
So this is when they go
into the vision room and there's a guy right at the front frantically tapping away on his keyboard, like not hitting anything right, just rips off the paper.
Professor Watson, who is the sort of the controller of the
and they lose the Inet cards. Carter and the Doctor have been escorted up by armed guard and they conveniently lose them in a door.
Okay. I love the way the Doctor turns up and he sort of says, who are you? How'd you get in here? Sort of thing. But doesn't sort of pay that much attention to it. There's also a scene I like in this episode when obviously the thing is going critical and Watson phones his family up.
Oh, yeah.
That's a really, really good scene because that's the sort of thing Russell T. Davis would put in.
Mm.
So a bit ahead of its time. You don't normally see that sort of thing in Doctor Who.
It's nicely
really
acted as well.
It was.
Mm-hmm. No, nothing's wrong. Mm. Just kiss the children for me. Stiff upper lip.
Yeah. That's right. And Sarah's sort of still sitting in the room with his hand. The Doctor realizes it's going to regenerate very quickly unless they get her out there. But how does it go critical? Is Eldred controlling it or?
Well, I think she's just exposed the core or something. She's exposed it.
And of course, the hand is absorbing all the radiation.
Well, the hand it goes. I don't think it goes critical until the one assistant. Wanders
Carter?
In.
Yes.
No, not Carter,
the other
Driscoll.
Guy.
But there's a point in which it goes critical twice, isn't it?
They evacuate and then they all come back.
I like the way the doctor says, when they say you can't go through the ventilation shaft on the Death Star type thing, like, you're roast man, not if I'm quick.
I like the fact that Sarah Jane is wearing kickers. They were quite trendy in the early 90s.
With what?
Kickers.
Kickers shoes. She's wearing kickers.
It's a British brand, isn't it? Kickers. Yeah.
I think so.
I think Clark's took it over. Pardon me. Right, so. Yeah, so the Doctor and Carter are heading down to Sarah, and then something happens to Carter, isn't it? He goes a bit loopy.
Eldrad must Master. Live.
Yes?
Master. You mentioned just in that sentence, you said you put it together, Dr. Carter. It makes me think that the name was influenced by the King Tut, Dr. Carter.
Anyway, moving back to the episode.
That's an idea. Especially this is like a mummy coming back to life, type thing.
Anyway, yes. I forgot to mention the bit where when he sort of first goes back into possess mode and he picks up the spanner.
Yeah.
And the spanner looks so blatantly rubber that it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So
plastic.
The doctor's not to know it's a rubber spanner.
Because a spanner that big would weigh so much.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Hello, Magic.
Hello, Magic.
Magic's coming here to put his nose into everybody's crotches, which is a bit... inappropriate, shall we say.
Morning magic.
Morning magic.
not for a dog. Very, very appropriate for a dog.
Yeah, so the doctor manages to get into the inner core.
His hand is so creepy.
He use an Aikido to knock out Sarah, which I thought was quite good because he hasn't used it for a while, has he? Certainly not as a fourth doctor.
And the ring's left behind.
Yeah, left behind. And Sarah very quickly is brought back round by the doctor and then very quickly hypnotised by the doctor. And goes back into Eldrad mode.
She thought she was touching the doctor's hand when she reached out.
Yes. I love the bit where she says, the doctor's about to hypnotise her, and she goes, "That's not fair!"
yes.
Not yet.
I'm amazed at how much access they had to this nuclear power station.
Mm.
Yes. They're wandering to air past signs that specifically say, "Don't go here." And they're real signs.
Oh, and everybody's running in and out, yeah.
It's a shame about the CSO hand. That's only sort of slightly enough bit of graphics, wasn't it? When they had the hand crawling across the floor in CSO mode. But what else could they do in those days?
Pasta? Yeah. I didn't care when I first saw it that it was CSO.
I don't really care now. I'm just saying it's a bit of a shame. It looks better on the black and white monitor, though. You can't really notice it so much on there. But when we see it, you know, in our sort of full screen, it does sort of stand out a little bit, but it's not nakedly bad. Meanwhile, Driscoll has been sent down to grab the hand. Unfortunately, when he grabs it, it goes all rubbery and squidgy. And then he sort of puts it. This is a shame that they couldn't. Well, nowadays, they would have put some motorization into the fingers because he picks it up and it suddenly freezes and puts it back in the. And then it wouldn't have gone in. The wrist bit was above the fit of the lid, so. He probably would have struggled to get the lid back on. As you can see, he hasn't sealed the lid anyway. And, of course, he picks up the ring, and then he becomes taken over by the spirit of Eldrad or something.
Eldrad.
Like.
Must.
So
Eldrad!
Skipping forward a little bit. And then, of course, they ask him about the ring, don't they? And he says, "Oh, no, I didn't see anything in there."
Because he's a liar.
And he's put the hand into the radioactive... samples a bit.
Yeah, and also they're getting tested by the sort of Geiger counters things coming up as having no radiation at all.
And how are they going to explain his death to his family?
I don't know, but does he put
he
the
just
hand,
wandered into the core like
he places
do.
The hand in he places the hand in the actual what do you call it the actual core itself
yeah,
it?
The actual,
and that's what sets the thing
it's
in motion
an explosion,
to some sort
it?
Of no yeah. Yeah, we haven't got to that bit yet.
I know we're nearly on.
Sets the thing into explosion mode, so everybody clears off, and I think Watson said, right, we're going to get the military into it's a shame he didn't say
to
we're going to get unit
missiles,
into
yeah.
So it's all very much a brigadier would have said, well, we'll get the military and blow.
Well, there were plans at one point to have the brigadier in this story.
You can sort of feel he's missing from it.
Yes.
I think you probably think the brigadier could have been in sort of looking after this nuclear power station for one reason or other.
I've got it playing on one of the monitors, and there's that scene of Sarah Jane with her holding her nose and with her mouth open.
I'm gonna
post that on Facebook.
Yeah. And the fact the doctor talks back in exactly the same way.
That's right, we're just talking about the unexplosion. It was only slightly ahead of where we were, Debbie, so I'll let you off that one. I see that.
I love that they get behind a truck
for
a nuclear explosion. Yes.
Yeah. I see that.
I love they're so casual about just nuclear explosion in the middle of wherever this is.
I see that Watson's got the bat phone in his office. That's a red phone, by the way, Kirby. Batman TV series.
I know.
I like the way when he suggests, why don't we talk to it? And Sarah Jane says, how? Use hand signals? That's a good answer.
Yeah, it's funny, though, because they're all ducking behind the thing, and like you say, and the doctor's on top of it, isn't he, watching?
Well, they keep telling him to get down, but they're not overly fussed.
Yeah, because he knows that full well that the explosion is not really going to happen. And then a Lady Eldrad, rather sexy Lady Eldrad, but I'm not too sure about her voice. I think she's probably smoked too many cigarettes prior.
Well, her voice has been modified.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. Somebody posted, I don't know if it was on the 20 Megabyte group, I think it was, a photograph of the actress without her
okay. Makeup on. Yes, yeah. Yes.
And she is on the commentary for the third episode.
Has she got a deep voice on that? Or?
No. Okay. No, she explains that they used a voice processor.
Anyway, there's a scene in which the Doctor tells Sarah to stay behind, and of course she doesn't. That's typical of her. And
I like it when they meet up and the Doctor crosses his hearts when he's promising. Yeah, oh, no, I swear we're good.
I didn't see that bit.
Hearts. Yeah, both
well
of
done.
Them.
I knew that's what you would have put in one of the questions.
It would have been, yes.
Wouldn't have picked up on that one. Yeah, but there's a great first conversation between them, and of course she has to sort of look into the Doctor's mind to make sure he's telling the truth. Fortunately, when he does lie at the end of that thing, he sort of distracts her from doing it. And she cons them really into helping her, and the Doctor actually allows them to be conned just to get her off the planet, basically. Mm-hmm. So they go into the TARDIS, and that does take a bit of time before they eventually
get her.
She
tries to attack them.
That's right, and the temporal grace that is only happens when the script requires
it. Yes,
prevents her from using her funny blue eyes in the TARDIS console room. Anyway, they land on Castria because the Doctor wants to see what Castria is like. Or Castria.
It's cold.
Yeah. There were some odd pronunciations also from Eldred. Castria. And there's another odd pronunciation, which I can't remember, she did at some point. And I love the sarcasm that Sarah said when it's very nice about the planet, which is completely a world of desolation. Yeah. And of course, the episode ends with her getting something going through her.
The rod.
It's very unusual that it would end with a villain character getting attacked at the end. That's the cliffhanger. It's normally the Doctor, Sarah, or, you know.
Because you don't know if she's a goodie or
a baddie.
Yeah,
you don't know if
she's
a villain or not.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
At the moment, she could be a potential companion.
She's been attacking people, and she's been saying that, why are people attacking me? She's sort of... never mind.
It's implied that, you know, she's just defensive. You know, she doesn't trust anyone.
Maybe. But anyway, so, yeah, obviously, she's dying now because of this...
acid.
...thingy. Mm. And so they go on a little quest to go through the caves of whatever it is.
Sarah Jane dramatically being gassed.
Yeah, she's being very Susan-ish, isn't she?
I'm surprised
she didn't...
I scared myself to death back then.
Moaning a lot. I'm surprised she didn't twist her ankle somewhere along the line, just for old time's sake. So they're sort of carrying... And I love the way she's getting stiffer and stiffer, as time goes on. And eventually she's just...
Particularly one point where the Doctor picks her up and she's just completely stiff.
Yeah. And she must have been very difficult to carry under those circumstances. And, of course, the fact that they talk about tetanus jabs earlier on in the story, and I think she perhaps could have done with the tetanus jab herself at this point. Eventually, they...
and then there's the joke of... where are all the bodies? Yes. Walking through them.
That was really good. Eventually, they sort of find this sort of slab that they put her on, and a great big rock comes down and crushes her, which is it's quite funny. Actually, expected the lock to come up, this little thin paper sort of just wander off like they do in the cartoons. But the fact that when it did lift up, it was just sort of powder. I thought they could have done with a few more bits of powder in there to make it look a bit more like as much rock would do if it had been crushed or pulverized. Yeah, she's great.
The bit with Sarah Jane has to go across the tree.
And it doesn't look very solid. It looks very squidgy when she's walking across those bits, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
I see Mary.
I like the computer warning
graphics.
All the way through. Disco. You know, there's people coming in,
Yeah, but the disco graphics are also quite interesting. John Travolta
those kind of graphics look pretty cool in those days.
Yes, they did. I think they look cool now, but they're just illustrating the sort of the thing that. In fact, you see that on some dance floors now, don't you? Mm-hmm. And that sort of. I think it's just weird to see.
I don't see that much. So
no, you don't.
You really
the ones I've seen on the
dance
that was quite a good
bit
of special effects, wasn't it? When she's lying down, all the cracks appear on her. I thought that was quite well.
Yes.
It's very brief, but the effect looked good. Anyways, like I say, the rock comes down, crushes her, but she walks out. Sorry, he walks out. Now, this is very interesting.
Oh my god!
Well,
it's the ring.
Is it the same voice?
The ring has got his genetic coding, hasn't it?
Is it the same voice as Omega and Azal and that?
It's the same actor.
Yeah, I thought it was.
Yeah, Thorne.
I'm glad you said that, because I was going to ask you this one, because it was so similar, the way that it was, he played it as well.
He's so shouty
I am in charge.
Yeah.
This is my world. I created it. Yeah. Sorry, Omega. I mean,
I was amazed watching it through this time. I was amazed at how little screen time the final male version of Eldrad has. He's only on, what is this, 10-12 minutes.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people only in the one episode or two episodes. I mean, Watson's only in it for two episodes.
I think we're just supposed to feel more sympathy for the female version of Eldrad, aren't we? Yeah. You know?
But I think this is very innovative that they've had a character that's female, then male. And it starts off male, then goes to female, then back to male again.
And like it when he says to the doctor, master? Don't you understand regeneration?
Exactly. Yes.
Yes.
Stephen Thorne was also an Ogron in Frontier in Space.
Oh, there you go. Did he go, I am an Ogron?
I have
He seems to have only one acting style.
Yeah. I probably didn't have any lines. But, So... He soon finds out that the King Rokon, or Rokon, that's on the screen is, in fact, an echo from the past, just that put in there to wind him up from the past.
They must have really known him to be able to set up this whole elaborate thing.
But
the race banks have been destroyed.
He obviously has plans to come back to Earth and take over Earth, because he hasn't got a planet's rule now, so he's going to go back to Earth. The Doctor then cons him into... chasing after his ring by throwing a magic wand or something like that.
Is my sound okay? Because
it's fine.
Okay, yeah, you guys are breaking up.
You were just ignoring. Right. Oh, good.
I'm going to show you. For me.
Anyway, so they con him. They manage to escape, leaving him behind to rule an empty planet. And then, of course, Sarah does some moaning. And the Doctor is a bit of a malfunction of the TARDIS, and then gets a call from Gallifrey, and apparently he can't take Sarah to Gallifrey. He was allowed to take Leela, but he can't take Sarah to Gallifrey.
That was later.
That is a plot convenience.
I like the way she says, I'm going to pack my goodies and I'm going home.
And then she goes,
Probably, when he was on Gallifrey in the next story, he probably changed the law so that he could bring people.
But I love the way she goes, because he does it, he ignores her, and she goes, right, that's it! And goes off.
And half to pack.
Yeah, and then she just sort of carries through some sort of random items, just to make a point.
Pot plant.
The owl. Stuffed owl.
Yeah, my cousin had an owl like that. She called it Flat, because she pulled all the innards out of it, so it was basically this flat, cuddly owl, and it got it replaced. So originally it was called Ollie, then it became Flat, and then he replaced the Flat with an Ollie, so she had a flat one and a sort of filled one, and it looked just like that one. Anyway, so that's it, basically.
That,
Sarah
that
Jane
one,
Lee.
What is that one, 30 Years in the TARDIS, where Elizabeth Sladen is interviewed in that, and her daughter's fairly young in there as well, and her daughter's wearing the Andy Pandy outfit and has the stuffed owl.
Yes. And that essentially is it. She says goodbye, and apparently she couldn't whistle, and somebody dubbed over the whistling for her, etc., etc.
Can I cry?
That terrible?
So that's Hand of Fear. Right. I'm going to say what I think of it first, because it's my show, and I generally do that. I can find, virtually nothing, in fact, nothing wrong with this particular story. I put it up as my probably third favourite Tom Baker story. It is, and obviously therefore would be very high in my ratings anyway. Yeah, it's almost perfect Doctor Who. It's brilliant.
Yes.
And I don't want to go through every single detail of its brilliance. It is just brilliant from start to finish. There's nothing wrong with it. It's very rare you can say that about Doctor Who. It's absolutely nothing wrong with it. It is perfect. Mm-hmm. Right then, Debbie, what do you think?
Well, I put this up there as well, and I'd recommend this to anyone who'd actually not seen any classic Who as a way of starting off, because it's I couldn't find anything to really complain about it. This was me watching it for the first time, and I
is
found
it?
Yes.
What?
Yeah, it's 1976. This one was out, and I hadn't actually watched it. I've read it, but I hadn't seen this one. And it took
really?
Some, it took some finding on Daily Motion as well
you
to get
said to
it.
Me, I could have let but two no, copies no, of it. You know?
I know, but I found it and I loved it. I sat through it twice because I just absolutely adored it, and I made my husband watch it, and my daughter actually watched it as well. And it was Faultless Who, absolutely wonderful.
And did they like it?
They loved it. They absolutely loved it. My 4-year-old
was your daughter scared of the hand?
Yeah, she thought it was brilliant, and she went and tore her hand off her Barbie. And look at this, Mummy. Can we make this move? It's like, okay, no, she's certainly turning into a little Whovian. But my husband doesn't tend to join in with me watching most of the time, but this time he did, and it was. If we'd had some popcorn, it would have been complete. It was brilliant. I absolutely enjoyed this one. There you go.
Thank you. Kirby.
Well, I've told this. First of all, I absolutely adore this story. It's one of my top ones, probably number three. But I've told the story before. This story got me hooked to Doctor Who. It was the very first story I ever saw when I was in college. It was one day to just turn on this Doctor Who thing and see what it was all about. And got hooked into the story immediately. And I was in those days, Channel 11 in Chicago was showing a story a day. So I had to wait a day between each episode. And then I fell in love with Sarah Jane. And I was so disappointed because I had no idea she was going to leave at the end of the episode. I'm going, what? How can they do this? Just absolutely loved it from that point on. And also the night that I heard that Elizabeth Sladen had died, of course, I went back and watched the last episode. Because it was necessary. Yeah. Just perfect. Perfect, perfect, perfect. Now, I wonder what Mary thinks.
Well, we're just about to find out. Here we go.
Well, I wasn't as in love with it as you guys. Mm-hmm. Part of it is, I know
Blast
that Robert
fever.
Holmes... the Robert Holmes, Philip Hinchcliffe series of The Fourth Doctor is, you know, one of the best series. So I tend to look at it within that grouping. And I found this one within the grouping kind of draggy. It didn't work for me as well as many of the other stories do. I felt like it could have been condensed down to, you know, two, maybe three episodes at the most. Because I felt like things were being, you know, repetitive or dragged out. So, but there are, I agree with you, there are brilliant bits in it. And Sarah Jane is wonderful in it. But it's not one that I would, you know, jump right on to go back and look at again. I mean, something like Brain of Morbius or something, I would rather watch again. Yeah. So that's where
that
I fit.
Too.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Of course, Mary,
you know,
you're
I'm just
wrong,
trying to put it within this group because the story by itself, when you put it in overall Doctor Who, does rank pretty high, but it's not one of my favorites.
Okay.
Cool.
Don't quite understand why, but okay.
But that's mm-hmm. why we're all on here. We all have different opinions. Sometimes most of us agree.
No, we're technically wrong opinion. I'm only joking, Mary.
Hell yeah, yeah.
Yes. Okay, well, that was Hand of Fear. Brilliant. A brilliance according to three of us. Sorry, it's a 75% success rate.
This is Sylvester McKay, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Right. I've got, hope this is audio from...
Billy
Kirkbright, because he did threaten to send me a video. So let's see what this comes up. Well, he did send me a video, actually. It might be on Facebook.
How are you doing? This is Billy with just a few few thoughts on that story, The Hand of Fear, by Bob Baker and Dave Martin. You know, I recall this story very well. I recall that, in particular, the time of this story was broadcast very well as well. It was October 1976. just after the English heat wave we had back then that I remember so well also. Now, yeah, it was a great story, but when I think of Hand of Fear from that time, there was a certain song that comes to mind that was very popular back in October 1976. It was about a duck grooving at a disco, which I find very silly, very annoying, which I shall say no more on. Thank you, Mr. Rick Dees.
Should he call me a moron?
Anyway, yeah, Hand of Fear was a great story. I think for one of the draw cards for me was the was that I like a story with numerous location settings. And in this case, we've got the quarry. We've got the power station, inside the power station and outside the power station. We've got the planet Castria. We've got inside the TARDIS. And we've also got outside the TARDIS when Sarah was walking off after she said goodbye to the Doctor, never to be seen again, apparently. But that was not the case, was it? But I do like a story with numerous location settings. So in that light, I thought that added to the quality of this particular story. When the Doctor, Sarah and Eldrad arrive on Castria and they were going to find the regeneration chamber to get Eldrad well again, I thought it was interesting. I didn't realise that the Doctor was superhuman in that he carried Eldrad on his shoulders and just seemed to throw her about like a rag doll.
You know, it was obviously very strong. We found that out with
Sarah. He did make reference to later on that the body was made of stone. I thought that was very strong of the Doctor, but obviously it was a dummy. But I'll overlook that little deficit.
Different gravity on Castria.
I thought the actors who played Eldrad looks absolutely fantastic.
Which one?
The lady.
In particular, for now I forgot the guy who played the actor who played Eldrad, the guy. Oh. But obviously, I do remember Judith Paris. And despite the pantomime overacting quality in which she portrayed Eldrad, I thought she was quite good. And after I saw this story again, I did do some research on Judith Paris, and I did find her in a movie called Dante's Inferno from 1967, and how different she was in that to Eldrad. Obviously a good actor, I thought, and I'm surprised she wasn't used even more in TV production during this time. I mean, to my knowledge, she wasn't involved in a great deal. I could be wrong there, but correct me if I am, please. Okay. But speaking of costumes, the Eldrad costumes were fantastic, and despite the flack that Sarah Jane and the production team copped for that Andy Pandy red and white stripes costume, I thought Sarah looked absolutely fantastic. So there, okay. Now the final scene where Sarah departed was very touching, very sad, also very quick, and putting aside the media reports that this was Sladen's swan song, I thought that in the actual story, her departure was very unexpected and a bit of a letdown, actually. I mean, when we go back to Joel's departure in Green Death, there was a lead-up to her parting the show in the fact she was getting engaged to Professor Jones. Well, there was no lead-up to Sarah's departure. Bang, there it was, and I thought that was quite disappointing. I thought she deserved a far better send-off than that. But anyway, we did see her in years to come, didn't we? And thank goodness for that. What a fantastic, ionic character, Sarah Jane. I do miss her. Anyway, but all that aside, not a bad story. Not among my favourite of stories of the Tom Baker era. I think that's the fact of its strong sentiments, emotional sentiment in that Sarah Jane was left.
Liquefied?
I think that had some gravitas to this story for me, okay? That's it for my lot. Have a fantastic day. Bye.
Thank you very much, Billy. And hope just wait for Kirby to get back off his seat. Oh, sorry, back on his seat.
Well,
I have a question. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of agree with Billy that Sarah Jane did not get much of a send-off as wonderful of a companion as she was. Do you agree? Do you think that she could have had a better send-off than that? Than just, oh, you know, he kind of says, well, goodbye, Sarah, and she's out the door.
I think there could have been the final send-off perhaps could have been better, but the way they did it, I think they could, you know, because obviously the story itself would have been hampered, I think, a bit if they had this thing leading up to it all the way through. I think the idea was that if it hadn't leaked out into the press that Elizabeth Sladen was leaving, it probably would have worked even better. That was a bit of a shock at the end. And it was fair enough. I mean, I think it's a bit of a lame excuse in a way that, oh, I can't take Sarah to Gallifrey. I think it perhaps would have been better if she just said, no, I think I've had enough.
Which is basically what she did, wasn't it? But then when he called her bluff almost.
Well, and another question I have. I run across information that during the course of the Sarah Jane era, that he had dropped her off before, that she didn't always live in the TARDIS. Is that true?
Only during the John Pertwee era, yes. Once he'd regenerated, she stayed with him.
Okay. Because I thought, I mean, he could have gone back and gotten her after Gallifrey.
True. That's another thing where it doesn't really work. But on the subject of Elizabeth Sladen leaving, there is a Easter egg on the Hand of Fear DVD, which is an interview that she did on Nationwide in 1976 in relation to her leaving the show. So if you haven't seen that Easter egg...
No, I haven't.
No, I haven't.
If you go onto the DVD and click on, if you've got it on your computer, the Doctor Who logo in the top left-hand corner, it will play... Magic's disagreeing with me, but I am, of course, right. And then some post arrives. You're going the wrong way. The post arrives there, and Magic runs through to the back of the house. Duh, Magic, duh. Right, we've got some more feedback. That's, shut up!
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
I'm in a bit of a rush this morning. I've not seen this story before.
What?
I was going to watch the end of it last night, but the internet was too slow. Possibly because of the World Cup. I saw the Brazil-Germany match the other day. Oh dear. I have heard that the only hope for Brazil in that match was that the Germans started another match with Russia and tried to fight on two fronts. I'm eating while recording as a tribute to Robert Haynes. It is spaghetti on toast. I'm eating Italian as a tribute to Luis Suarez. Land of Fear by Baker and Martin. There were several jokes in this. Sarah pretending to be still under the influence. The guard trying to lock the gates of a complex about to be bombed. There was a quarry playing the part of a quarry instead of an alien planet.
Yeah.
Elizabeth Sladen was very good when she was not screaming. The story ended rather suddenly. Eldred revealed himself to be a villain and was defeated on in the last episode. Replicas of the scarf used to defeat Eldred. Today is Bastille Day in France. For details, see William Hartnell in The Reign of Terror. Marina Sirtis was an actress on Star Trek The Next Generation and in 2007 said this in an interview.
I was not geeky at all.
Although I have to say, I heard from someone the story that when you were about 7, you were out taking the garbage out or something like that, and you were scared of the garbage cans because they look like Daleks.
They look like Daleks.
So there was a bit of geek there, or something.
Yeah, I love Doctor Who. I did love Doctor Who. But, you know, we only had 2 channels in those days. So if you didn't watch Doctor Who, it was probably a documentary on a lizard or something. There wasn't a lot of choice.
Okay.
But I did like Doctor Who. And the Daleks scared me, and the Cybermen scared me.
Ah.
Yeah. But my own personal taste doesn't go towards the sci-fi. It kind of goes toward chick flicks. I like chick flicks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Steel Magnolias is my favourite movie of the last 20 years, yeah.
Fantastic. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. And has she got a strange accent? Marina
yes,
Sirtis.
Yeah, it's very odd.
Yeah, so that's feedback for this week. Thanks, Ian, and thanks, Billy. I did get a video, actually, but this is a podcast, so I can't actually play the video that Billy sent me. So I'll have to play that in my own personal time. Talking of videos, there's a new trailer for Spock to Pew.
Mary needs to post a podcasting selfie.
Yeah, she can do that because she has a Mac.
Well, I just did it. I don't have a Mac.
Yeah. Right then. I was going to see if I can go through. See if we can find this. I'll play the audio version of this new trailer. Because it's well worth listening to, isn't it, everybody? No! Tough.
Yes.
I'm going to play it anyway.
Yes.
Here we go.
Life returns.
I don't think I know who the Doctor is anymore.
Life prevails.
I'm the Doctor. I've lived for over 2,000 years. I've made many mistakes. It's about time that I did something about that.
Where are we going?
Into darkness.
Here we go again.
Clara, tell me. Am I a good man?
I don't know.
Doctor Who. Saturday, 23rd of August on BBC One.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yes, and I've already had people complaining the fact the Daleks are obviously in it, but who cares? Doctor Who's back.
Yes, and I think he's going to be fine.
Yeah, also he has toned down his Scottish accent quite a lot. Sorry, somebody says Debbie's very nice. Obviously, you're not looking at the right picture.
That's Kirby underneath.
Right, anyway.
Hello there, this is Colin Baker, and you are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. And doesn't make... I'll do it again.
Yes, let's look further into news. Now, right. News is a little bit annoying for me personally because I don't know if it happened before our last recording, but 5 scripts have been leaked. Mm. And somebody called Dennis Jones, who also known as Archibald Dangerfield, am I allowed to say that? I don't know, but I have done that, actually acquired these scripts and has been teasing me with the possibility of reading some of the items within ever since.
I joined the Facebook group, no spoilers please.
Yeah, and also I have said if anybody publishes any of the spoilers on our group, they'll be kicked off and blocked.
No,
but so fortunately, nobody's done so so far.
Don't want to
know. There's also been a ropey old copy of one of the episodes put online.
Yeah, yeah.
A black and white fuzzy version of one of the episodes.
Probably quite reminiscent.
What's the point? What's the point?
I haven't seen any spoilers posted any place, actually.
Yeah, but I can understand occasionally
people
want to see spoilers.
It could just be one great big publicity stunt, that's the thing.
It could be, but it's unlikely.
That's true. Yeah. This day and age with all the tech.
I don't understand why... I can understand the odd spoiler, no, the odd hints now and again. You get, you know, people see photos or a little bit of an actor's been cast or a character's returning, and some people don't want to know, some people do want to know. That's fine to a certain degree, but to have the actual episode, the whole thing spoiled, I find that really annoying. But nevertheless, it's apparently happened, and I really, for myself, don't believe that it's a fake. I think it actually is the actual script. We'll soon we'll find out, because apparently the first episode is going to be fantastic, but it's Doctor Who, so it's bound to be. Right, moving on to the rest of the news, and we haven't done news for such a long time, I don't know what news to cover and what not to. What are we going to do, Deb? What next news should we cover? Doctor Who news
app.
iPhone app has been updated. I haven't used that for a while. Does Doctor Who have the
Mary
best
has name? Been challenged to put up the a selfie.
I'm working on it.
Don't forget to flip it in Photoshop. I'm sort of flapping.
I didn't have to do that with mine.
Moving on.
Only if you're wearing the 20 megabyte podcast.
Yes.
I'm wearing the clothes I need to wear to work.
Anyway, deep breath. 8 p.m. premiere in the UK. German broadcaster Fox have now updated their online listings guide for August and indicate that the first episode of the new series, Deep Breath, quite a title, apparently everybody knows that apart from me, is scheduled for 23rd of August. I like that's a good title, isn't it, for a first Doctor episode, yeah. Rather like the 11th Hour. It's just a good opening title.
Have they been broadcasting the previous series like they usually do in the build-up?
I posted my selfie.
Oh, we'll have a look at that in a minute. Probably on Watch. Watch tends to do that, doesn't it?
Yeah, Watch has been doing all the classic Who as well.
Yeah, I expect they'll do that as well. Zohara, what's that? How do you say it? What are these names? Terrible names.
Zora Zagal.
Has passed away at the age of 102. And she appeared alongside William Hartnell in two stories, Crusade and Marco Polo. Not a bad age, really, is it?
Marco.
Marco.
Polo.
US station Retro TV has announced that the classic series of Doctor Who will launch on the channel on August the 4th.
Oh, brilliant.
So I won't be watching that. Huh. Sanjeev Bhaskar is to appear in Doctor Who now. He also, you know, the one that was in the story with the Silurians, the character, the Doctor in it, not the Doctor, the not Time Lord Doctor. The when they were doing the digging for the when they go underground, and Amy got swallowed up, and Isabella said. The Doctor fell down.
That was Mira Sayal, yeah, wife. Yeah, his wife was in that. Yeah,
When they in a comedy series together, wasn't it called...
Goodness gracious.
That's the one. And they had one of my favourite sketches of all time is when the Indian family go to the English restaurant.
Yes, yeah. And Give me your blandest thing
you've got, yeah. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, so yes, Sanjeev Bhaskar to appear in Doctor Who doesn't quite say what he's appearing in, but he's a good actor.
He's
a good
thrilled.
Performer. Yes, not surprised. Mm-hmm. It's a great shot. A great shot of the Doctor and Clara wearing Victorian gaff, and the Doctor looking particularly.
He looks a bit Faganish, doesn't he?
Yes, pretty much so. And the gloves and everything. Yeah. It's interesting.
Shabby. Scrooge, yeah.
Yeah. Ray Lonnan has passed away at the age of 74. He played Gardner, an officer aboard Earth Battlecruiser, a 1973 story, Frontier in Space. It seems to come in three, these deaths, so I wonder who's going to be the next one. They're saying about deep breath leaking online. We're going to leave that to one side. Although we'll be interested when it does air to see how accurate the scripts were. And I predict that they were very, very accurate indeed. And I wonder if now these things are out, whether the little tweaks are going to happen to the final.
So are you going to seek out the script once it does air?
I don't have to go very far to seek it because I know, as I say, Dennis has got the whole lot. So I'll just ask him. Might get Dennis.
Well,
on the
aren't
show.
They going to be showing this anyway at all the where they do that worldwide launch? I mean, they're going to be showing it before we get to see it anyway.
I don't know, Mary. Don't know.
Well, yes, the there are going to be press screenings.
Okay. Well, they will do. They do that anyway, don't they? But that's a press screening. It's not public.
But they usually. Admonish the audience, don't say anything.
But on this big launch, anyway. There's going to be a lot of people seeing it, so it's not going to be a secret for very long.
No. But you are supposed to sign some sort of legal document, aren't you? Like the person who leaked it anyway has probably signed. Thank you, Magic.
I have read that it's unlikely that the guy whose name is supposedly plastered all over the stuff is not necessarily the guy who leaked it.
Okay.
It just happened to be the copy that he had, but it was probably someone in that office in Florida an IT guy who probably made the mistake.
Okay. Well, they've released the Australia details of the Doctor Who World Tour, of which I still haven't said anything. Oh, tickets will be available for general sale through Ticketmaster from 11 a.m. on
next
Monday 21st, but is that the whole tour or just the Australian bit?
Oh, I don't know. Because it says where it starts in the UK, doesn't it?
So, yeah, but yeah. I want tickets. I won't get one.
You never know.
Especially, does it say actually? Stop flapping your ears. Does it say when the London one is? Because I can't believe they're going to do the London and the Cardiff one on the same day. Because if they do, I can't go. But anyway, yes, they've released the fact that Capaldi and Jenna Coleman are going to be live on stage at State Theatre Sydney for a one-time-only fan event on the 12th of August. Can you go to that one?
That'd be nice.
One-time-only until the next one.
I wonder I'll just get over to Australia.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if Reese is going to go to that one. Remember Reese?
Yes, I know.
Used to make Reese? Quite a lot.
Never heard of
vaguely.
Him.
Vaguely.
I wonder if he's going to be back. And how many days is it now? Let's check my
Doctor Who countdown.
Let's see if we can... Anybody estimate the correct amount of days there is to the...
49?
We'll get an extra point for the quiz.
49? No, it's less than that now, isn't it?
No. The answer is 40, so I'll get some points. 40 days to go! I wonder if that means it's 42 days to go before Reese is back on the show. I hope so. It's now time for the return! Where I stop interrupting my introduction! Right, that's it. Magic! Attack!
He's asleep.
He's not now. He's looking at me really rather with scared face.
Well, you sent him out to me.
Yes, go on, Kirby.
Here's my plan of attack. Looks like a nail. No, it's attack.
Shut up.
D- do you suppose that he's even going to join us once the show starts?
Well, that's what I thought he might do.
Yeah,
I'm fine.
I doubt
it
too.
He's suddenly got himself a life, hasn't he? Right.
Yeah. Billy wants to know where Mary's selfie is.
Yeah, Billy wants to know where your selfie is, Mary. And listeners, if you want to see these selfies, and mine and Debbie's is particularly good, join the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group.
I like Kirby.
What, mine's ugly?
No, I like yours.
I haven't seen yours.
He's
actually,
in a proper
Kirby.
Doctor Who room.
Or your selfie.
We're in front of a table.
It's a fanish room, not just a Doctor Who room.
The fan room.
Very, very cool. If we've got any, we have got a couple of new
it's
members.
It's beyond the magic door that Mary's always commenting.
Remind me. Remind me. I know I'm going to have to get post-it
the
notes.
You mean the only door?
It's now time for the return, after 2 weeks off, of this week's edition of You Won't Get This One!
I will be rubbish at it because I made no notes this time around.
No excuse. All right.
I made notes, I probably won't get most.
Okay, the first question goes to Debbie. I'll start again. Which number of dome was Central Control calling at the beginning of the story?
Oh, God.
I know.
wasn't.
See, notes don't help.
No, it wasn't. Kirby?
Dome 6.
It was Dome 6.
I got close.
Right. Kirby, what ship was Eldrad in at the beginning of the story?
I don't know.
Debbie?
It's the obliteration module.
It was. Mary, right. you're never going to get this one. She won't get this one. Or yeah, should I say the title of the quiz, you won't get this one. What are the odds of particle survival?
Oh, please. No, I don't know.
I think Debbie knows. She's got a finger up. You're supposed to say, I know.
I know. Yeah, sorry. 1 in 3 million chance of particle survival at 19 spans.
Is the correct answer. Right. Debbie.
Yeah?
What is the name of the man who activated the detonator? Was it? Do you want the alternatives, or do you think you know anyway? If you know without the alternatives,
I think. Yeah.
Oh, God, right, the options are Mark, Mike, Neil, Rob.
Rob?
Nope. Right. Anybody for the alternatives? The man who's activated the detonator, therefore burying Sarah Jane under a pile of rubble and grass next to her hand?
I thought you were talking about Zaska.
That's it. Yeah, that's what I was
Castrian.
Looking at. No. Right, was it?
I don't
Mark,
know.
Mike or Neil?
Mike.
Too late. Well, I should really deduct a point for that. Right then, who's next? I've lost it now. It must be Kirby's go. Kirby, what injection had the medical staff given Sarah at the hospital?
A tetanus.
Tetanus.
Oh, I'll give you that. It's anti-tetanus, but yes, that's fine. Mary.
Yes.
What is Dr. Carter in charge of?
Oh, I don't remember.
Okay, anybody?
The pathology lab.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And...
You just follow the science.
Follow the
science,
pathology. Yeah. How do you find pathology? Yeah.
Debbie.
Yes.
What strata was the hand found buried in?
Strata.
Mm.
Oh, crikey. I've got crystalline lattice.
I'm back, listeners. The quizmaster is back.
Shut up. Blackstone dolomite.
I'm going to give you a point for that. It was Glaxstone dolomite, but I can see it was phonetically correct.
It was Glaxstone dolomite.
Right, Kirby.
Master?
How many stars featured on Sarah Jane's dungaree?
Three.
Correct.
Hey.
Mary.
Yes?
How long had the hand been buried?
Oh, 150 million
years. It was! Right. And after those rounds of questions, in last place with 2 points, it's Mary. In second place with 3 points, it's Debbie. And in the lead with 6 points, it's Kirby. This is Debbie's question.
Mm-hmm.
What children's TV character did Dr. Carter compare Sarah Jane's outfit to?
Andy Pandy.
Mary wished she had that question. Yeah. Kirby.
You bet, yeah.
What phrase did Dr. Carter keep saying?
I know that the what Sarah Jane kept saying, but I don't remember.
Yes, I know.
Debbie knows. Must
live. Did Debbie you knows. Find anything in the quarry?
Oh,
he says that several times.
The answer is Great Scott. Right, Mary.
Yes?
Do we throw toilet paper at him?
What did the doctor advise Carter to do with the hand to stop it from regenerating any further?
I don't
remember. Oh, silence. Yes.
No, I think Debbie knows.
Put it somewhere safe.
No. The answer was keep it away from radiation. Debbie. Wow.
Yes.
Just take it to the nearby nuclear power plant.
Yeah. Pop it there, yes.
Debbie, what nuclear reactor did Sarah take the hand to?
The name you of mean the actual fictional, place, right? Nunton Experimental Complex. Yes.
Yeah.
It's Oldbury for the actual.
Yes. I've got both written down.
Kirby.
Master.
Nunton Power Complex also featured in what previous Doctor Who story?
Arg.
What?
Arg.
Arg, apparently.
I don't remember.
Anybody?
No.
What?
The one with the weird people with the goggly eyes and the unitards. Yes.
Well, for that one, she got the actual title I was looking for. Mary!
It's Kirby who jogged my memory.
What car did Dr. Carter drive?
Oh, dear.
Oh, wow.
How are we supposed to know that?
It looked like a Citroën.
No, it wasn't a Citroën, no. Anybody?
Ford? What?
No, it was an Austin Allegro. Right, the scores are
there. Gee, I wouldn't know that.
How are we supposed to know that?
Yeah, we Americans
should Doctor Who fans, you should know little details like that. In last place with 2 points is Mary.
I demand another question.
Second place with 6 points is Kirby. And in the lead with 8 points, it's Debbie. Right, this is Debbie's question.
Okay.
Where did Sarah Jane lock herself in? What part of the place?
Fission reactor is sector 4?
Nope. Anybody?
Yes, the outer chamber of the reactor core.
It was precisely right. I should give you an extra point for being precisely right. Kirby.
Master.
Who is Professor Watson's assistant?
Jackson?
Yep. Mary.
Miss Jackson.
Yeah, yes. Miss Jackson.
Mary, what is the temperature?
Now, I demand a question that doesn't involve obscure British only.
Right. What is the temperature inside the cooling duct?
Oh, is it like 200 degrees?
Yes!
Woo!
Derby.
Yes.
While Watson was phoning his family, what word was flashing on the monitor above his head?
Lord.
No.
May I?
No, she's still thinking.
No, go for it, Kirby.
Go on in, Kirby.
It was probably critical.
It was critical. Yeah. Right. Kirby.
Master.
After rendering Sarah unconscious, where did the doctor take her?
The decontamination.
It was the decontamination. Yay. Well done. Mary.
Yes.
You know, I don't have many notes for this one. I'm remembering it because I just love this story.
Mary, when Sarah came round, what part of her body did she say hurt?
Oh, yes.
Her head?
Nope. Anybody?
Her neck?
Nope.
Well, it's part of her head. It's her chin.
You're not getting a point for that because that was. I'll go on.
Yeah, Kirby gets a point.
I'll give you a point. Yeah. I'm being generous. Right then. Debbie.
Yes.
What did Watson intend to do with the hand when he saw it crawling around on the CCTV monitor?
I don't know this one.
No idea.
Okay, well, nobody knows, therefore the answer is, and they didn't get that one. The answer is, get it out of there and put it in a sealed container.
But Oh, the Tupperware box.
Well, it's a Tupperware word.
Yeah, the Tupperware.
That would have done.
That'll keep it fresh.
I've got it written down. I've got it written down in Tupperware box.
You should have said the blooming answer.
And make sure you burp it. Yeah. Right.
Kirby.
Mary, where's your selfie?
Kirby.
Where is it? It's not on the 20 megabyte.
Kirby.
Master.
Who was Driscoll?
I don't know.
Does anybody know?
God?
No.
No. He was a man who retrieved the hand from the reactor.
Oh, him.
He didn't get that one. Mary.
Mr. Yeah. Paper Suit.
We knew
suit
that. We thought you were being specific about him.
Yeah, never mind.
He's a god.
There was loads of guards.
He's a technician of some sort.
What was the last thing Sarah said just before the doctor hypnotized her? This is Mary's question.
You said it earlier. It's not fair.
It is correct. Right. And the scores at the moment are, in last place with 6 points, it's Mary. In second place with 8 points, it's Debbie. And in the lead with 13 points, it's Kirby. All right, next question goes to Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost where I was now. here we go. Right. It's this one. How did the doctor describe what happened when they expected the reactor to blow up?
An unexplosion.
Correct. Kirby.
Master.
How did Sarah muse they might communicate with Eldrad?
I said it earlier.
I
know.
Oh, okay. Give it to Debbie. Give it to Mary.
Hang on, who are we going to give this to?
Well, Debbie Mary said it.
I said it earlier, and I jogged the memory, so Mary knows the answer.
Oh, go on in, Mary.
Well, with hand signals.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Mary.
Yeah.
How do you stop your eardrums from getting perforated from an explosion?
To Kirby's little picture on the Facebook, you hold your nose and open your mouth.
Correct. Debbie.
Yes.
What colour did Eldrad's eyes turn when she was looking into the doctor's mind?
Sort of bluish.
Blue. Will do.
Yeah. White blue.
Kirby.
Master.
How did Eldrad describe Castria?
Cold. I don't know. Cold?
Well, I can add to that.
I'll give you a point for cold. Go on in, Mary.
Ravaged by solar winds.
I'll give you a point for that. It wasn't on my thing, but she did actually say that. The answer was cold and inhospitable.
Ah.
Right. Mary.
Yes.
I've lost where I was. All right. Apart from being sentenced to obliteration, what was done to Eldrad's reputation?
Reputation? I don't know.
Is it because he's an anarch?
No. Well, yes, but not the answer I'm looking for. Anybody?
No.
He was discredited.
All over Facebook, probably.
Right. Debbie.
Yes.
What was the last of the long series of numbers the doctor asked Eldrad to enter into the TARDIS console? Oh, God, she's got the old lot.
I did write them down somewhere.
In that face. Were all of the numbers.
Yeah. You know what? I can't find them now. That's very dear. Funny. I've got them written down.
I've got a 1 in 10 chance of getting it right by guessing.
I don't know. 6.
No. Anybody?
11.
No. It's not like 1 in 10, is it?
Where is
it? No, anybody? The answer is 5. Right.
Yeah, there they are.
Too late. Kirby.
And is 5 the last number?
Yes.
It is, just. Kirby, what would happen if Eldrad had misset the coordinates? And you have to get this correct verbally and word, as the script says. Very important part of the question, you see. Oh, so I didn't start that up. Sorry. The
dramatic.
Thing he just started playing the music. So it's got a big build-up to... the answer to this question.
So what was the question again? Sorry.
Right. The question was, what would happen if Eldrad had misset the coordinates? Is it Kirby's answer? Oh, is Kirby? Yeah. Kirby, come on, hurry up. Right. No, Kirby! Oh, he hasn't gone, has he? Let's say they've all gone.
No.
Oh, no, Mary's there.
No.
I'm here.
No, Kirby's gone.
The Kirby is gone.
It's done what Mary normally does. I mean, no, I'm only joking, Mary. I know it only happened once.
Where's he gone? Kirby.
He's completely gone.
Yeah, he's really gone now.
He's given up.
So that's what we do when we have a lead in the game, we knock them off.
Yeah,
the
that's it. They're gone. His internet must have gone down. Must have.
Mm-hmm. I'm not happy that someone's posted the actual story on our group, really. It annoys me a little bit. I love the way Ben... But somebody posted the link to this deep breath thingy on the 20 megabyte group. Not happy about that, by the way. But Ben Shuffler says, sure it.
It's alright.
So must mean it's quite good. Then, going to see Ben on Wednesday, on the way up to Monty Python. So, planning to record something. Don't know what yet.
Kirby, are you back?
No, you aren't.
No, he's not.
I'm going to reboot. There'll be some sort of delay in...
You did I get the question right? The new members,
I don't know.
Too.
Yeah,
should we just
I can't
do
really do that in the middle of... No. Spend all that time rolling those questions, getting into trouble with my wife for nothing, you know? Give him a bit of time. Give him 12 past. It usually takes him about 5 minutes to reboot that old piece of junk he uses as a computer.
We could welcome the new members and do some
not
news.
Yet.
Why not?
No, because it's in the middle of the quiz. That would confuse people. Well, it confuses me. Isn't it? I'd just like to know where there's no other selfies. I thought Kirby said he posted one.
Kirby did. It's in my underneath ours.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. If you go into comments.
Why didn't he post it separately?
Where did mine go?
I don't know.
Did you post one?
Yeah, I did. It was there. Now it's gone.
Looks a bit tired, doesn't he, bless him?
Of course he does!
Rather precariously piled load of stuff behind his head. He was moaning about my blooming precarious pile of DVDs.
Okay.
Hello.
Put it on the
you've done
put
it.
Put it on the 20 megabytes, so let's see if that...
Oh, Mary.
That's fine too. No, hang on, I'll have to look at it on your iPad because I don't want to change.
Oh, that's mean!
No, I'm only laughing because she looks so hacked off.
It is 6. Yeah, when I took it was 6 in the morning. Last thing I want to be
photographed. I didn't know he was taking a picture until the countdown started. It's like, what? I had no makeup on.
Yeah, nor have I, so.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah, you can see the dish behind me that I finished eating my breakfast off of.
I can't see it.
La 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 la, Kirby, come back to us.
Whose go was it anyway?
It was Kirby's go, and it was the answer was.
It'll be someone else's go.
That's why we're at a standstill.
Yeah, the answer was symbolic resonance will occur in the trachoid time crystals, and if that happens, there'll be no chance of us landing anywhere ever, ever, ever.
If you say so. Oh, well, that's correct.
Got that one then.
Yeah, right. That was the important part, the ever. Right, so Mary.
Yeah. I can see why Sarah Jane was such a popular companion, because she was just so good. She was so good at poking at the doctor and, you know, making fun of, you know, his, you know, larger than self ways and all that. But I know too that she was also kind of annoying in the same way Rose was, you know, where she would kind of overdo it.
Which one did you say about taking the McKay?
That's why
the
they didn't get on with each other.
Well,
at first,
Pyramids of Mars. When the doctor was a bit grumpy at the beginning of Pyramids of Mars, and she's sort of wearing one of Victoria's dresses, and he's being all grumpy. He goes, "You don't understand. I'm a Time Lord." And she goes, "Oh, I know you're a Time Lord."
It's so horrible. Yeah.
So therefore, this will be Mary's go, because I'm giving up on Kirby, because he obviously can't be bothered to come back.
Betty's trying very, very hard.
I'm sure he is.
A bit where it says answer was ever. Where is that? Oh, we go. Right then. So this is Mary. How did Sarah describe her first impression of Castria to Eldrad?
Oh, other than cold, I don't remember.
It's very nice.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Debbie, this is your question.
Mm-hmm.
Where did Eldrad plan to go just before being struck in the chest?
Down to the regeneration room at level 306?
No.
No?
Mary?
Oh, no. The thermal caverns.
Too late. Thermal chambers was the answer.
Oh, that's right, the thermal,
Mary.
Yes.
What was in the tube that hit Eldrad?
It was an acid.
It was acid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Debbie.
That Eldrad himself came up with. Mm-hmm. Yes. Eldrad created everything, you know, built the dome. To
yeah.
I mean, Eldrad was God.
I stopped picking holes in this superb, perfect story.
Yeah, yeah.
Debbie.
Yes.
What level did they arrive at the bottom of the shaft?
Level 306.
Ooh, brilliant.
I've got it written down.
Yes. Mary.
Yes.
What did the crystal in the ring carry?
Genetic code.
Oh, I remember it opened. No, I don't remember what was in it.
I'll give you a point. Debbie said the answer, so I'll give it a watch. Go and say it a bit more clearer.
Genetic code.
Yes,
that's right. That's right.
All right. Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
Who appears on the screen to talk to Eldrad?
Rokon.
Correct.
King Rokon.
Right, we keep counting. Right then, and this is the last question because I'm going to say four back for Kirby. I guess I'm nice that way, just in case he turns up. But just in case he doesn't. Mary?
Yeah?
What did the Doctor give Eldrad instead of the ring?
Yeah.
Jeez. I don't remember.
This magic wand.
Is correct. Right then, so therefore, unless Kirby turns up to answer four questions, the scores are at the moment in last place with a very creditable 12, Mary. In second place...
You're too kind.
...with 14 points is Kirby, and in the lead with 20. Sorry, 20 points is Debbie. So he has got a chance of catching up if he can answer the last four remaining questions correctly. But will he?
Yeah,
he's got a few minutes.
Stay tuned. But if he doesn't, that's the end of this week's episode of You Won't Get This One. If he does, we'll come back to it. What a strange way of doing a quiz. Right,
yes.
Is it my turn to disappear next week?
No.
Yeah, we're kind of rotating it.
Yeah.
Right, now it's time to welcome new members to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group. Welcome Charlotte Anderson Evans. There we go. That was a very quick feature. That was, wasn't it? Right. So what's the other thing we're going to do? We haven't spoken about them for a while. It's called sponsors. Mary, who are our sponsors?
One of them is who1.co. Yes. Yes. Shut up.
No, I'm laughing because of the way I typed it in.
You typed it in really oddly.
W-O-O-O-N-E.
Who1.co.uk.
Yeah.
And the other one is lavarzi.com.
It is. Where you can buy some lovely scarves, specifically girly Dalek ones. And judging by the fact that Daleks are in the new series of Doctor Who, and there's a dog barking outside, it's rather topical, yes.
Mm, no, I've put it on my Christmas list.
Really? Yeah. What, along with the Andrew Cartmell stuff?
Yes, definitely. Mm. No, I'll be getting them when I get paid.
Yes. you did get a message about Andrew Cartmell and the very probably large costs of sending it to the US. Mind you, you've probably already got one, haven't you, Mary? You met him?
Yeah. No, I don't have one.
Okay. Right, then, talking about meeting him, we haven't really discussed your... your experiences at Conquest Erebus. So I'd be quite interested to sort of have a recap, or not so much a recap, but just sort of you telling us about how your weekend went, really.
Right now?
If you wouldn't mind.
Okay.
Did you stay at the actual hotel, or do you sort of...
No, I did not. No. I tend to be, you know, on the cheap side, so I stayed at a hotel across the street from the shopping complex, which was... less and offered a free breakfast, whereas ooh, the more pricey hotel that they were in doesn't.
No.
So for Matthew was, when we go to Chicago, it's the same deal. I stay in a hotel across the street from the complex where that hotel is, and also offers a free breakfast and it's cheaper. So I was in the habit of bringing Matthew, you know, a bagel and fruit and stuff in the morning because his hotel doesn't offer breakfast and he doesn't have the money to buy breakfast.
So. Oh, dear.
So I usually bring stuff to him, but this time because he has a girlfriend hanging around,
she can buy breakfast.
Yeah, I didn't have to. So he ended up starving all day, every day.
Or so he says.
Well, he went for a meal while we were recording.
That was a quick one, wasn't it?
He went for a meal, but he never made it because they ended up getting sidetracked onto some issue they were having. Mm. So he would end up not eating anything all day until like 9 o'clock at night. But you know how it is when you're one of the organizers, you kind of run on adrenaline all day. Mm. So he probably dropped a few pounds.
Yeah. I just think if Paul McGann's coming to next year, obviously you know him quite well now. So,
yeah, I know. and I always mean to post that picture for you, Debbie, of Paul McGann kissing me. Oh,
so if he kissed you that time, are you going to be moving on to the next level?
Doubtful, since he's happily married with kids.
Apparently, yeah. He's at the con that. Nabil's going to in Middlesbrough, and I'm off that weekend, so I've actually been looking at the ticket prices.
Oh, good, you look for me. Am I off that weekend?
I don't know yet. It's the bank holiday weekend in August, and I'm actually looking at possibly getting up there.
Actually, that is my week off, I believe, because Deb was saying something about Doctor Who conventions.
Different Deb,
and stuff.
Not me.
carry on, Mary.
Is that the same bank holiday weekend that the new Doctor Who season begins?
Yeah. So good timing, really, isn't it? What's it called again?
Dark something.
Shadow Proclamation, wasn't it?
Yeah, Shadow Proclamation, yeah.
Kirby's back online if you want to.
No, we're quite happy with that.
We're getting back. Right, let's get him back onto the...
Hurry up.
It's all right, doggy. It's all right, puppy. I know, it's scary, don't worry.
I know precisely what happened.
And congratulations, Debbie, for winning the quiz. Yeah, go on then, Kirby. What happened?
I lost power for the computer. My feet accidentally unplugged the little brick.
You donut!
From the little brick going, providing power to the laptop. You know how the wire goes
so your battery run
the
out.
Laptop so I had been on battery power and didn't know it.
Well, fortunately for you, I saved back all your questions that were not necessarily yours, and now in a slightly different order. There's you missed four questions on the quiz, so there are four questions left, giving you a chance to possibly win. You might already be still in the lead. Mm-hmm. We don't know.
We know, but he doesn't know.
Right, so here we go. You ready for your first question,
Master?
What did the doctor ask Sarah to pass him from out of his jacket pocket while back in the console room?
Sonic screwdriver.
No. Anybody else?
That was one of the things he asked for.
No, it was... Oh, not, that's not the one I'm looking
Zeus
for.
Plug?
No.
Zeus plug?
No. The answer was...
Morgan nut.
The answer was Ganymede driver.
I've got that there.
Right then, next question. Who did Sarah promise to give the doctor's love to when they got home?
Harry.
That's 1 point.
And the brigadier.
That's the other one. Right. What road did Sarah Jane live at?
Supposedly Hillview Road.
What do you mean supposedly?
Well, it's Bannerman Road, we all know.
And the last question... What is the last thing the fourth doctor said to Sarah Jane?
Don't forget me.
No.
Oh, dear.
Anybody?
Goodbye?
No.
Till we meet again.
Too late. Is the correct answer, but too late. Right. So the final scores then for this week's, you won't get this one, with Kirby being extremely awkward and then pulling out power cables and stuff like that, is in last place with a very, very, still very credible, as we mentioned earlier on, 12 points, Mary. In second place with 18 points, it's Kirby. And the winner this week with 20 points. So if you got the last question right and answered it at the right time, we'd have drawn it. You've got a draw out of it, Kirby. It was Debbie. Very close.
Yay.
Yay. Right, I was just looking up, Kirby. We're talking about Mary's experiences at Concasturberus. Yes.
Which I didn't really get to. No, I was talking more about the hotels.
Well,
breakfast.
That's the way a woman looks at it, really, and the lack of food that Matthew was eating over the weekend. So, what were your?
I didn't eat much either.
What were your thoughts on the weekend? How did it go for you? Other than what we already heard, obviously, because all we did was talk to listeners and celebrities and stuff. We didn't really talk about your weekend there.
Well, my weekend is pretty much photo documented.
No, well, thanks for that. That works really well.
I had a great time. Yeah. I just wish there had been more books available.
What, like from Andrew Cartmell?
Similar. I mean, just other books about Doctor Who.
Yes.
That was the only friggin' book that was on stock. And the other thing that is strange is that no one sells DVDs.
Hmm.
That's odd.
I don't always want to order stuff from Amazon.
Yeah.
Well, Matthew told me that at last year's Conquistorberus, that they had a Books a Million booth set up, and which they were selling books and all that, and they tried to get them back again this year, but he doesn't know what happened, whether they never responded or they're angry about something that happened the previous year, but that never came about. But he says he's going to work on trying to get them back again.
I don't remember any books last year.
Okay.
I've been to all three Conquistorberuses.
Okay, well, I mean, that's what he says.
So. Yeah, see, there's an avenue for you lot to explore. You lot, see, you just think of the stuff they're not selling and start selling it yourself there. There you go. I've sorted all that out.
Mary needs to clean up her breakfast.
Oh, God.
You see that, do you?
Anyway, we're talking about who won, or trying to, before I got slightly sidetracked.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Oh, yes.
It was, we move on to Shadow Proclamation.
Well, I never really got to talk
about it. No, I can't find it now.
No, Mary didn't really talk about her experience.
Oh, yeah, sorry, carry on, Mary. I found who won there, so carry on. We'll talk about that in a sec. Go on, then.
Well, the only other con I've been to is the one in Chicago, which is at least twice as big. Only because this one was bigger than they had planned, so they had people packed in all around the walls when they would have a main room event. And it was great fun, mostly meeting up with people that I've only talked to online. So, you know, that's always a lot of fun. And the thing that surprised me was that the main event people, Sylvester McCoy, well, Andrew Cartmell, I mean, he made himself available to everybody, which is great.
He was great.
But I expected, because it was a smaller con, to have the star be more accessible. But apparently he was there with his American agent, who was sitting pretty heavily on access to him, so that you just couldn't get close to him without paying money every time, you know, to get his autograph or even just to talk to him. So I was a little disappointed in that.
Yeah.
I wish that Matthew would try to get a better video room set up. It actually worked well the previous 2 years, set up in the bar, because it was just better to see it. We need it shouldn't be a video projector set up to a computer's. I mean, yeah, you can do that, but like a DVD player or something, or.
Well, he was playing it all from the computer. There was no video projector.
Well, he was projecting it onto a screen.
Okay. Anyway, talking about projecting things onto screens, I did see the rather superb video of the Big Finish panel. I only saw the second half of it, Mary, to be honest with you. I did watch it all the way through, and I thought it was fantastic. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah,
and I'm time to watch the first half yet. I may do at some point.
Well, as you can see, Matthew is the one that knows everything and is very articulate. Mm. So, you know, you just sit him down
except
and get him
started. Except on this podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. The only thing,
you just get him going, and then he can talk forever. Yes. And it's actually hard to find.
When he's been on the show, we've noticed that. That's why the show is usually about three quarters of an hour longer when he was on it. Yes, Who won? The only thing that's sort of really new on there, apart from DWM475, is the Eighth Doctor Sonic Screwdriver. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can buy that now, $9.99. They've also re-released the Ninth Doctor Sonic Screwdriver, which I keep on buying them and keep on losing them for some reason. Thank you for that.
Does it sound like that?
Yes. Probably, yes. Yes, Shadow Proclamation, which is the convention that Nabil was talking about last week. The listed guests are, not him, funny enough.
Not him, no.
Are Paul McGann, Colin Baker, Colin Salmon, Michael Troughton, William Russell, Peter Purvis, Ian Cullen, Annika Wills, Fraser Hines, Deborah Watlin, friend of the show, that was sorry, Fraser mm-hmm. Hines, as is Louise Jameson, Philip Olivier, Tracy Childs, which of course was played the wife of Peter Capaldi.
Right back.
Thank you for that. Played the wife of Peter Capaldi in...
Shut up! Stop it!
Katrin...
Shut up!
Ow!
Katrin Stewart, Andrew Fetz, Virginia Hay, Nicola Bryan, Peter DeJersey, and Tommy Knight, and
Nabil
Shaban.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm really tempted, you know.
No, I am. Tickets start about, 50 quid they start.
Well, for the whole weekend?
For the passes.
Any discounts for kids?
Well, it's only from 8 years up, so I don't know if I can.
Where is this one?
This is the one in Middlesbrough that Nabil was talking about that he was going to.
Yes, it's from Saturday the 23rd of August to Sunday the 24th of August.
I'm off, so I'm thinking about heading up there.
Yeah, and Deb was talking about us going to a Doctor Who convention this year, specifically the BBC one. Mm. But there's a really good list of guests there, isn't there? Tempted.
And you might find a more fannish run convention to be more to your liking than the more official things.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing with official things, of course, we've got lots of BBC props and stuff like that, you know. It's the only thing. It was very, very big, and there was lots of BBC
but
stuff.
As you noticed with Conca Cerberus, you've got lots of fan-made props.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're
cosplay.
Rubbish, but obviously if you go to a convention, you've got the original props there. It's quite a big thing, and the BBC did do an extremely good job with that particular thing. I don't know, I'd like to go to a fan one as well, but if I had a choice, I'd probably go to the BBC one, simply because Capaldi's there. But yeah, so that's the Shadow Proclamation Doctor Who convention. Yes, yeah.
Did we welcome new members yet?
Yes,
yeah,
we have.
We've
all one of them. Yeah. All done.
Oh, right. I wonder why that guy at Conca Cerberus, who lives in Huntsville and is from the Isle of Wight, hasn't joined.
I don't know who it was, and that was you only just told me about that one. Do you remember mentioning this person? No. Yeah, well, I don't know either.
Oh, I tagged you in the post.
Did you?
Yeah, he there. Someone posted a picture of another Doctor Who store in the UK, and he pointed out whowon.co.uk. Because he used to live close to it.
Oh, super.
And I pointed out to him that you were, that the podcast was based out of the Isle of Wight.
And he
tagged
was so
you.
Impressed
how...
he didn't bother joining the group. It's fascinating.
I'm trying to find it.
No, never mind. It doesn't matter.
Conca Cerberus group still has just dozens and dozens of posts every day.
Yes, okay. Anyway,
it's hard
what are we reviewing next week?
What are we reviewing?
Pyramids of Mars, isn't it?
Pyramids of Mars,
yeah. Funny, I referred to that earlier on. So there we go, Pyramids of Mars next week, and I presume we're going to try and do it on a Sunday, since we haven't done it Sunday
for a while. I
hope
so, yes.
Can't think
well,
I'm
we did a Sunday 2 weeks ago.
Hang on, where's my diary? I'm going to check my diary. Two weeks ago was we had a convention.
Mm.
Yes, there we are. Here's my diary. Right, where are we? Sunday is.
Let me bring up the list here.
Sunday,
and we still we're gonna have to do something about.
Can't do that one. Photo shoot 7 p.m. I'm doing this photo shoot next Sunday. At 7 p.m.
Oh, no.
Which rather hampers my abilities to record.
We can't do it earlier in the day?
No, I'm at work. I do work, you know.
work.
Yes, work. I'm at work from 8 till 5. And I come home, have dinner, and then I'm off to Rink Road and Ride to take photos of a future. That's like an engagement shoot. It's not an engagement shoot, it's a pre-wedding shoot. But I am probably available the following Sunday. There's nothing written in the diary for the 27th of July.
Well, write in podcast.
Yeah. And on the 3rd of August, and it's Cows Week, but I haven't got anything written in for that one.
Second. It's the 2nd of August, that Sunday.
Mm-hmm. That's the 3rd.
That's it? Mm. Oh, right.
Yeah, well. So sorry, Mary's Mary's really angry with me now. I've incurred the wrath of Mary again. Dear, she's gone very quiet, hasn't she? Dear.
Is she there?
I don't know.
Oh, not another one. Oh, well, somebody will have to tell her. She's gone away to let the cat out. Well, she's either that or she's muted her microphone.
Weird. She's still showing online.
Yeah, no, I know.
Yeah, no. How strange.
Mary?
You've made her cross.
No, no.
Oh, no.
I apologise. Come back. Oh, I just...
Break everything.
Oh, no.
What'd you just do?
My my speakers have just fallen off. The back's fallen off it and everything.
Mary? Oh, very... Hello.
Hey!
Okay. I don't know what happened. I don't know.
Your cat probably
my
sat on the keyboard.
Wasn't muted or anything.
Your cat probably
you
walked
probably,
across the table and pressed
unplugged the computer.
Mute button. Yeah.
Now, after we do Brain of Morbius, what are we going to do about the... what is that noise?
It's my clanger.
Clanger.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. What are we going to do about that? You know, I could always change my vote.
Well, then do it, because it's not the only way it's going to be resolved.
Never mind that.
So I say, go ahead and change your vote.
Right, we're going to establish that. Next Sunday, I'm sorry, I'm doing a photo shoot, so unfortunately it's going to be Monday again, but I'm available for the following two Sundays. And I'm apologising to Mary, who I thought was cross with me, because she wasn't speaking to me once I said that I was doing another Monday.
No. Well, the problem is the Sunday that we were about to do, yeah. I'm on call, so it's kind of a 50-50 chance whether
that's
I'll
good then, isn't it? So it's going to be Monday. Yeah, so Monday, a week today, we'll be doing The Pyramids of Mars.
Yay.
And then the week after that will be Brain of Morbius, and the week after that is now, because I changed my vote, Planet of Giants.
Okay. Yeah, and then we're getting very close to the new series, where obviously our review of Classic Who stops for 12 weeks, hurrah!
Hooray!
Yes.
Yeah.
And we'll hopefully get all sorts of reprobates rejoining the show. But anyway, that's probably about it for this week's episode of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for ducking in and out of the show, Kirby and Mary. And until next week, it's a goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye, fancy pants.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.